Temperatures are dropping so low, some of us could see frost. We'll outline where and how chilly it will feel, town by town.
The complaints we heard about Raleigh's tap water tasting like dirt. The solutions we found on if it's safe to drink and how to fix it.
The action's already started here in the parking lot. I'll get you set for Canton's Isles Game 2.
And before we get to the Canes, and let's talk about the weather that we have outside. Beautiful, but chilly, and it's just going to get colder. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now with some breaking weather news that we've seen with the frost advisory in just the past few minutes.
Just in, you know, the past minute or two, the frost advisory has been expanded to include the entire viewing area. So everybody that's watching right now does have the potential for seeing some light frost tonight. Because of this, you will want to cover up your plants. We're talking temperatures falling into the 30s for most of us, 35 in Roxborough, 37 South Hill and Rocky Mount, 39 in Raleigh, 38 degrees in Durham. Because of the frost advisory, you will need to act on this. I'll have a closer look at how you can protect your plants. Walk you through that coming up.
All right, Kat, thank you. And with that, why don't we talk about what's going on the ice tonight. The Carolina Hurricanes about to hit the ice. Game 2, first round of the playoffs. They're playing the New York Islanders up 1-0. Puck drops in less than 30 minutes. There's your countdown, and the place is packed out. A sold-out PNC Arena tonight. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dan Haggerty. Fans, they were ready to go for Game 1. You know they'll show up for Game 2. It was a win on Saturday night. WRL's Pat Welter live for us now at PNC Arena as people are getting ready. It's the loudest arena in hockey, Pat.
Oh, that's right, Dan. The secret is out about Raleigh. We got fans filing in behind me as we speak. Sellouts, playoffs, a way of life around here. Now, no longer is this team some lovable underdog. The Hurricanes are the favorite to win the whole thing, and their home ice is a big reason why. This place was absolutely rocking Game 1, and you can tell similar energy already here tonight. But some of that emotion worked against Carolina in Game 1. The New York Islanders were actually the better team for a lot of the start of that game, but Freddie Anderson, the equalizer in net, 34 saves. This is a guy with an incredible story. He missed the playoffs 2 years ago due to injury. Injured to start last postseason, suffers a blood clot this year, so he is fully embracing this moment.
I'm just grateful to be part of playoff hockey. I think we have a really special team, and everyone's gonna be part of it and do their job as best as possible. And like I said, just it's really exciting to be back out here and battling with the guys.
He's always been a great goalie. I think he hasn't been able to stay in there. So hopefully he can stay healthy, because if he plays like that, you know, it's a huge, huge thing, obviously. Goaltending is what it is in this league. You got to have it.
Now, Freddie Anderson has not started back-to-back games since he returned to the ice on March 7th. He is starting tonight. Rod Brindamore asked if he had any level of concern. He said, absolutely none. Dan?
All right. I like the sounds of it. Let's keep the momentum going tonight. We'll keep checking in with you, Pat. Thank you. Live there for us at PNC Arena. So tonight, Garner police are investigating a possible crime after getting reports of a person with a gun near North Garner Middle School. Police focused most of this investigation here. This is at a home on Broughton Street. The middle school was put on what they call a code yellow lockdown before the students were released for the day. One neighbor says that he saw officers patting people down at one point. Another neighbor tells WREL he heard gunshots while working from home.
And I heard 4 to 5 gunshots that I recognize, because I've heard gunshots coming from that house before, so I was pretty certain at what they were. So I looked outside and didn't see anybody with a gun or anything, but I noticed that the inhabitants of the house were concerned.
They would start patting them down, they had them on the ground and all that.
We are, of course, continuing to follow this story. Police do tell us that no one was hurt. A 13-year-old girl is dead after a shooting at a Raleigh apartment complex. Police were on that scene for more than 14 hours after this situation. The family of the middle school girl says it was a homicide. You see them in mourning there. Just awful. Police are calling this a death investigation. All day long, dozens of people gathered outside that apartment complex, many crying, falling to the ground when that coroner arrived. So tragic. Right now, police have no one in custody. The Goldsboro Police Department is investigating 7 deaths in just 10 days. 2 of those people were found dead with gunshot wounds on Saturday. The other 5 are being investigated for connection to drugs. So far, those deaths are unexplained. The Goldsboro mayor shared a message with us today for anyone wanting answers.
These processes are frustratingly slow sometimes. We have to allow the medical examiner's office to do their part in this. But ultimately, if you already have a strong gut feeling of what took your loved one away from you, start trying to be the solution for somebody else.
Those are tough words. As these investigations continue into what caused the five unexplained deaths, the mayor says there are a number of resources within the county for those people who are battling substance abuse. For more information on those options, you can find them on our website, WREL.com. City of Durham employees could get pay raises in July. That's if and only if City Council moves forward with the proposed adjustments in next year's budget. A compensation study found that city employees were making below market rate. The pay adjustment for police ranged from about 14% up to almost 23%. Right now within DPD, nearly one in four sworn positions is vacant. The Fraternal Order of Police spokesperson Larry Smith says better pay could keep officers here and keep the community safer.
As officers who work in Durham, I think want to be Durham police officers. They like Durham, the training they've received, there's camaraderie there, they've been established in Durham. But when you see a significant pay difference, it's enticing.
And it's not just police officers. Durham firefighters have also been pushing for higher pay for months. The pay adjustments reach almost 18% for firefighters. The city manager will present her proposed budget to the council on May 20th. We'll let you know what happens. City officials say the reason your Raleigh tap water might seem a little bit off, it might taste a little off or smell a bit strange, well, it's because of what's growing in Falls Lake, increased algae blooms. That's what they say is to blame. Experts do say the tap water is safe to drink, but I'm sure you're wanting some more information, right? WRL's Sean Gallagher explains how the city's addressing the problem.
Roughly 80% of the water for the city of Raleigh comes from Falls Lake. But as beautiful as this scenic body of water looks, it holds a much dirtier secret underneath.
The water here at Falls Lake hasn't been as refreshing as of late, tasting dirty or musty. So when you're pulling that tap at your house, it doesn't taste like what you'd expect.
Oh yeah, the water tastes like dirt now.
I think, well, maybe it's my taste buds or something.
These folks knew something was different about their water.
Like, I wonder if there's mold in the pipes because I smell mold whenever I turn the water on.
Well, I just wonder why it's changed.
Claude McMahon has been in Raleigh for more than 30 years, and this is the first time he's ever tasted water like this.
I hope it's safe.
It's safe, it's just not the taste that we strive for.
At Raleigh Water, Ed Buckin says they have never had this happen with the water while he's been here for nearly 20 years. But warmer temperatures likely prompted change in the lake.
So we do see them throughout the year, but typically it's going to be in the summer. And so this was a little bit of a surprise.
And this is not a very likely period for these blooms to be occurring anywhere, in fact, in major drinking water reservoirs.
As a professor of marine and environmental sciences at UNC Chapel Hill, Hans Perl seconds the city's take that the water is safe.
From a human health perspective, there's probably not much of a danger of slight taste and odor problem.
Either way.
Yeah, I'm drinking bottled water.
Claude's playing it safe.
If you don't want to wait a couple of days for the water to get back to normal, the city suggests adding a lemon wedge to an open pitcher of water in your refrigerator, or if you have a home filtration device with carbon, that should do the trick as well. At Falls Lake, Sean Gallagher, WRAL News.
Yeah, glad it's safe to bathe in, but who wants to drink smelly, dirty water, even with a lemon wedge? Raleigh Water does tell WRAL it is treating the water, but it could take some time to get everything back to normal. There are more than 2,700 miles of water pipes through our area, so flushing out musty water with treated water may take some time. New polling out today shows the presidential race in North Carolina here. It's getting tighter. The latest Meredith poll shows that Donald Trump and Joe Biden are right now in what they would determine as a statistical tie. But the governor's race appears to be opening up a bit. Among registered North Carolina voters, Democrat Josh Stein has 45% support. Republican Mark Robinson has 36%. 15% say that they haven't decided yet. Meredith College poll director David McLennan says that's a wider lead for Stein than what they were seeing 2 months ago.
And that's where I think looking at unaffiliated voters is quite interesting, because I think it's, you know, Robinson has his core. That's probably not going to change. But it seems like there's been some shift towards Stein.
Looking just at unaffiliated voters, if we were to kind of hone in that poll, Stein had 43% support there compared to 27% from Mark Robinson. But 23% of those voters say they still haven't made up their minds. Unaffiliated voters are now the largest voting group in the state, outnumbering both registered Democrats and registered Republicans. Raleigh City Council is considering some significant changes to how city leaders are elected, and they want your opinions on this. These are big changes. They would be to add 3 more seats to city council. That expands the number from 8 to 11. Move from the current 2-year terms, where everyone is elected all at once, to 4-year terms, where their election dates are actually staggered, and shift from a system where you vote once to one that requires a primary. You can learn all about these choices and weigh in on what you think. There's an open house on May 1st. Still ahead, a new warning about a scam that's made its way to North Carolina. We're going to explain what you should look out for and how to avoid it coming up. At an Earth Day celebration in Fuquay Varina, officials announced a new environmental literacy plan. Climate change reporter Liz McLaughlin tells us how nature-based learning can help students grade. Next. So we've heard from a bunch of people, and they say that 5 on your side, a warning from us, helped them to avoid falling for the latest scam. We like to hear that. Last week, WRAL warned everybody about this toll road scam that's out there. Potential victims receive a text message, and it tells them that they have an outstanding bill, and they have to pay it or face a $50 fine. It then prompts you to click on a link. You see the text right there, and it's to a fake NC QuickPass website. At the time of 5 on Your Side's first report, North Carolina authorities say the scam had not really made it to the Tar Heel State yet, but that changed by the weekend. WRAL received 7 messages from viewers saying that they received the text and then dodged those scams.
It's just shameful that we're living in an environment now where people are always trying to take something that's not theirs.
Well, I agree with her on that, man. To spot the scam, look for the phone number, the random number there with the area code that actually traces back to Canada. And there's no such thing as the North Carolina toll services. Check the link. All of the anybody associated with NC QuickPass, it'll have the ncquickpass.com or secure.ncquickpass.com, that sort of thing. It's a celebration of accessibility at Durham's Amtrak station. This morning, local leaders, state officials, and Amtrak representatives did the old ribbon cutting there with the giant scissors. They're celebrating some new improvements. Durham Mayor Leonardo Williams says the upgrades, which include new automatic doors, are an example of a successful public-private partnership. NCDOT Rail Director Jason Othner says the changes at the Durham station will help meet increased demand.
In 2022 and 2023, we had consecutive record-breaking years of ridership. Our ridership last year in 2023 was 38% higher than in 2019.
Amtrak Vice President David Hander told the crowd that the company is committed to ADA accessibility. They've upgraded about 120 stations, and they have another 35 scheduled for completion this year. Your children will learn more about the environment thanks to a new plan linked to Earth Day. WRAL climate change reporter Liz McLaughlin has more details from Lincoln Heights Elementary School, where the announcement was made.
This school is focused on environmental connections and hands-on experiences like building this pollinator garden to connect with the world outside of school walls, something that officials tell me they want to see at more schools around the region.
Hi, everyone.
Lincoln Heights Elementary had a few more grown-ups than usual on campus today.
Because we get to help the environment by having more plants. It was really fun.
Helping Hands for Earth Day from officials including Elizabeth Beiser, the secretary for the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality.
So making sure that we've got students who are educated in science and environmental literacy is going to be so important to make sure that we can tackle the challenges of the future.
Secretary Beiser announced a new K-12 environmental literacy plan, a framework for ways students can learn about environmental issues, critical thinking, and civic engagement.
And we know that that benefits students not just in science education, but really across the curriculum.
A number of studies show environmental education and nature-based learning can improve grades and mental health for students.
So the good news is we have a school in our district who can actually show us how they're doing that, so we can look at this across the district.
Lincoln students integrate environmental concepts in science, math, and art, with additional projects to mark this special holiday.
You have to celebrate the earth and to make sure that it doesn't get too polluted.
And like the young bluebirds from the school's birdhouse, nurture the next generation for a bright future.
Happy Earth Day!
Lincoln Heights also received a Green Power grant to install this 20-kilowatt solar panel, complete with a weather station, data monitoring, and a STEM curriculum. Just another way students here are learning to protect the planet on this Earth Day. In Fuquay, Verena, I'm Liz McLaughlin, WRAL News.
And speaking of solar panels today, Governor Roy Cooper announced $156 million in EPA funding to strengthen solar use in communities across the state. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now. Got a nice shot of North Hills back behind me. As we take care of our earth on this Earth Day, we're also going to have to take care of our plants overnight, Kat. It's going to be cold.
It is going to be cold. And this is something that, you know, you need to act on, especially if you live in one of our typically cooler spots or a more rural location. So Roxborough, for example, this is one of the spots where you're going to want to cover your plants tonight. This is a light frost for most of us, but the frost advisory was expanded to include the entire viewing area. This just came down about 10 to 15 minutes ago. Lows will range from 35 to 37 in the coldest spots, and this is light frost material that we could see with the light winds overnight. Cover your plants, though. That's going to be the key. So, you know, it's really too late to do any of the watering, but the soil should hopefully still be a little bit wet in some places due to yesterday's rain. Cover the plants before you head to bed at night. Plastic is not typically a good thing to cover your plants with. If you have an old bed sheet laying around, that's perfect. You can cover your plants with that. Kind of tuck it in at the edges to trap in some of that warmth. And then in the morning, you'll want to remove that covering pretty early on. Once the sun comes out, that should help to warm things up. 39 is our forecast low in Raleigh. That's going to happen right around sunrise tomorrow morning. 38 in Durham, 35 Roxborough, 37 South Hill, 36 in Lewisburg, and 38 in Wilson. Just to the south, about 40 for Fayetteville and Rayford. But some of the cooler, more rural areas around Fayetteville still have that threat of falling into the 30s. So especially if you live in a more rural community where you don't have as much city heat to trap in, you need to protect your plants tonight. For temperature anomalies, we've had this big dip in the jet stream behind the cold front, and that's funneling in some of this cooler air from Canada, thanks to our north wind that we have today. That changes a little bit by the middle of the week. We're not quite as far below normal, but still a little bit, just a couple degrees below normal as we get into some of the middle days of the week. And then temperatures fall again. We really can't get back to that above normal pattern until we get to the weekend. That's when things should begin to turn around. And that's because we have another cold front on the way Wednesday. This one doesn't have much moisture to work with, but there is about a 20% chance for rain midday as it passes. It is Earth Day today, so let's talk about our local climate here in the Triangle using some RDU data. So when we look at the climatology to describe an area, you look at a 30-year data set. The latest compared to the last one from 10 years ago shows that we're running about half a degree warmer here. And while that doesn't sound like much, just half a degree up to a degree can throw off your body temperature in a significant way. So even these small differences make a big impact. And we're really noticing a big change, wetter in terms of our precipitation, and that's rainfall. We're seeing 0.7 inches less snow. And I'm sure that snowfall stat, pretty much everybody has recognized that around here. For your 7-day forecast, we have some ups and downs to go. 51 is actually our normal low this time of year. We do have a couple of mornings where we're right on par with normal, but the cold front passes Wednesday. That's our only chance for rain at 20%. And then we fall back in the 40s Friday morning. We'll be back in the mid-80s, though, a week from today, Dan.
It'll heat back up. Thank you, Kat. So we all love the Canes, but more than prom, there's one couple that says they just might, and it's putting them viral. We'll talk about it when we come back. Taylor Swift is shattering records once again. Her latest double album, The Tortured Poets Department, it dropped Friday, and it's now the most streamed album on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, pretty much everywhere. The album was streamed, get this, 300 million times on Friday on Spotify alone. So just that one platform. The opening track, Fortnite, featuring Post Malone, was the most streamed song in a single day. This is Swift's 11th studio album. Last year, she was also Spotify's most streamed overall artist with more than 26 billion streams worldwide. She is number one, man. It was a big night for a country music star who we love here, North Carolina native Scotty McCreery. He was inducted into the Grand Ole Opry last night. Got some photos that he posted online. So McCreery, who is from Garner, of course, an NC State graduate, was there with his wife and his son and other family members, also alongside other country music stars, folks like Randy Travis and Josh Turner. Big congratulations to him on what is a huge accomplishment for anybody, especially in country music. What a milestone to hit. So make sure that you watch The Voice tonight right here on WRAL. Goldsboro's Tay Lewis is going to perform again. Big voice. He's got a big voice on The Voice. Lewis is now on Team Dan and Shay. He was originally, you might remember, on Team Reba, but he lost a knockout match in his last appearance on the show. But Dan and Shay, they stepped in to give him a second chance. So he's still part of everything here. The Voice airs at 8 o'clock tonight right here on WRAL. So I know what a lot of you are going to be doing in a few minutes. You're going to be watching the Canes game. Game 2, Canes Islanders playoff series. By now, you know, PNC Arena has a reputation for being the loudest arena in the league. Some people will not miss the Canes postseason, and they won't miss it for anything. Like this couple who says the playoffs are better than prom. The Canes share the video of the two. You can see that they are in their prom attire. You know what? You might as well get dressed up for the game nowadays anyway. I like the dress and the rental tux. Maybe he owns it. Who knows? Their post said that the playoffs are greater than anything, and it went a bit viral. People are really enjoying it. Let's take a live look outside here tonight. PNC Arena. Things are getting ready to get started. Cause chaos. That's the battle cry. Most people are done standing out front. They're heading inside. Go Canes. We'll see you back here later tonight.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.